Take a break from your busy schedule and join Harold Sala for Guidelines for Living.
It's an old story retold many times. In the 14th century, there was a duke named Ranald who lived in the country we now know as Belgium. The duke was not only overweight, he was grossly indulgent. He craved food and his appetite for more was never fully satisfied. So much so that the peasants called him Crassus, which in Latin means the fat one. In due process, the overweight duke became king, but his brother Edward deeply resented the fact that the crown had bypassed him and gone to his plump brother. So he plotted a revolt and deposed his brother. But instead of dispatching his brother so he would never again be a bother to him, in a rather sadistic moment of perverse compassion, he had a room built around his brother, having a door that a normal-sized man could pass through, but far too narrow for his overindulgent fat brother. Every day, Edward, the new king, would send pastries, choice foods, and drink to his brother, who, of course, appreciated his perverse kindness. "My brother is not a prisoner," the king would say, adding, "he can leave any time he chooses." In fact, Ranald was imprisoned by his greed, not his brother. He was a prisoner of his own appetite. Frankly, greed was not only Ranald's problem, but also the problem challenging everyone who aspires to better himself. It's the old issue of how much is enough. It is the corporation who controls the market who delights in wiping out the upstart competitor. The executive with a 6 or even 7-figure salary who fights for millions more in bonuses. The wealthy nations who sap the strength of the poor nations. Food was the commodity that made King Ranald a prisoner of greed. But it is diamonds, gold, money, and markets that control many, creating corporate takeovers, political maneuvering, and on occasion, bloodshed and war. But, and this is where the issue gets personal, is greed only a problem of the big guys, the bad ones over there, whatever that is? Or can it be the problem of the little guy, too? Perhaps even the person who lives in your house? The fact is that greed is not only the enemy of the rich, but the poor as well, and everybody else. It isn't an issue of how much you have or how little you have, but how much you want. Surprisingly, the New Testament has twice as much to say about the issue of greed as does the Old. Jesus denounced the religious leaders of his day, the Pharisees, saying they were full of greed and wickedness. Jesus warned, "Watch out, be on guard against all kinds of greed." Then he added, "A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." Greed, said Paul, is one of the sins of the flesh, which God's people ought to excise from their lives. Put it to death was the way Paul said that it should be dealt with in Colossians 3:5. The New Testament also warns that greed will be one of the motives that false teachers use to build their empires and kingdoms. Peter wrote, "In their greed, these teachers will exploit you with stories they have made up. Their condemnation has long been hanging over them, and their destruction has not been sleeping." But among you, wrote Paul, there must not even be a hint of sexual immorality, or of any kind of impurity, or of greed, because they are improper for God's holy people. You know, friend, it is still true today. Greed is an enemy, everyone's enemy.
You've just heard Guidelines for Living. Visit givetoguidelines.org and become a partner in sharing hope and encouragement in Christ with others around the world. That's givetoguidelines.org. Thanks for listening, and join us again for Guidelines for Living.